Live from the campus of Hillsdale College in beautiful Hillsdale, Michigan, this is Scott Bertram in for Steve. On the Steve Gruber Show, Thursday, July 2nd, 2020, here are three big things you need to know. Three. Governor Whitmer has announced she's renaming a state office building in Lansing. She says she'll rename the Lewis Cass Building as the Elliot Larson Building. Cass was a slave owner. Two. The New York Times has joined the Democratic National Committee in criticizing Mount Rushmore. You see, there are no breaks. There's no limiting principle in this push to tear down anything from our country's rich history. And number one, gun sales spiked and FBI background checks set a new record in June. There's a backlog on weapons and ammunition and parts. I wonder what could be going on across the country to cause this exercise of our Second Amendment rights. Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve here on the Steve Gruber Show on this Thursday, July 2nd, as I just said. Thank you so much for joining us here on the program as we continue our Independence Week of broadcasts into the holiday on Saturday. Steve back on Monday. Coming up this hour, Steve Gorham, Executive Director of the Climate Science Coalition and advisor to the Heartland Institute. Also, Chad Banghart, Executive Director of Committee to Defend the President.com. That's all coming up in this hour two of the Steve Gruber Show. It's a broadcast from here in Hillsdale. I mentioned this previously in the week. We've just stuck in like a loop of the same weather forecast day after day after day here. Sunny, hot, and 90. That's what we have apparently for the next 14 days or so. And not being a warm or hot weather lover, it's not my favorite part of the year. I do love Independence Day, though. It's one of my favorite holidays for ranking. I mean, Christmas is really nice, of course, but Independence Day is outstanding, too, for what it represents, as well as what, as well as the fireworks. I do love the fireworks. And that's something that I had been missing since moving here to Michigan because, again, it's bright so late in the evening here on the western edge of the eastern time zone that they don't shoot the fireworks off at the community celebration here until well after 10 o'clock. Our kids are in bed. They're asleep by then. And we're not mean parents. I mean, we keep them up to have fun, but they're monsters the next day. And they can't stay up. Generally, they're just hitting they're hitting the wall by 9 at the latest, falling down. So we just do some things at home, some snaps, some things for the kids, and then call it night and hope that the loud booms don't wake anybody up later on. But I do love Independence Day, and of course it's happening on Saturday. I have our parade here locally on Friday. I don't know how many of your community parades are still on. It is outdoors. There is distancing possible, depending on how long the parade route is, of course. So it should be okay. We are planning to attend the Friday parade here in Hillsdale. Might see Tim Walberg there, congressman, frequent guest on the Steve Gruber Show. He's got his 4th of July Independence Day American flag shirt that he always wears at those events. So you know where he is when he's walking down the street. What's happening? Speaking of Independence Day, it's just about the right time, isn't it? Just about the right time for some sort of push to eliminate Mount Rushmore, right? Old white guys, some slave owners, Washington, Jefferson, Roosevelt, Lincoln. Time to tear that thing down, don't you think? The Democratic National Committee had a tweet earlier this week that was quickly deleted, although screen caps were grabbed, in which they criticized Mount Rushmore and called a Independence Day celebration a white supremacist gathering. And now the New York Times has joined the DNC in the criticism of Mount Rushmore. The New York Times publishing an article criticizing the racist history of the memorial, its sculptor, and the, quote, complicated legacy of the presidents represented on it. This is a Free Beacon story at the Washington Free Beacon. The article's called How Mount Rushmore Became Mount Rushmore. It states that the national monument has, quote, never been without controversy. Is that true? Up until, say, like the last week or 4 days, have you been aware of any controversy at all regarding Mount Rushmore? No, I have not. This article comes ahead of a planned Independence Day celebration at the monument featuring Donald Trump, which could be one of the reasons why Mount Rushmore is now in the crosshairs of many media members. The Times says that event has invited even more scrutiny of the monument's history, the leaders it celebrates, the sculptor who created it, and the land it towers over. Two reporters, this is not, to be clear, this is not an op-ed piece in the New York Times. This is a reported story. Brian Peitsch, J.C. Fortin, the reporters here. Note critiques of each of the four presidents featured on Mount Rushmore. George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, you know this. Old white guys and slave owners. Teddy Roosevelt, a racist who actively sought to Christianize and uproot Native Americans. And Abraham Lincoln also getting hit from the story, quote, some have characterized the Emancipation Proclamation as reluctant and late. Yes, we've now reached the stage of this where the Emancipation Proclamation is problematic. The DNC tweeted on Monday that President Trump was glorifying white supremacy by hosting a fireworks display at Mount Rushmore. The Free Beacon piece points out here that several past presidents, including a guy you might have heard of called named Barack Obama, have visited Mount Rushmore despite this racist past. President Obama visited the structure during his 2008 campaign for president, an event covered by the New York Times without any mention, this will surprise you, of its complicated legacy. First Lady Michelle Obama and their two daughters also visited as part of the vacation, a vacation in 2012. Longtime Times columnist Maureen Dowd in a 2016 piece on Obama's legacy questioned whether Obama had established himself as a Mount Rushmore president. The Free Beacon points out it's not clear whether this would have been an honor or not to be featured on Mount Rushmore. So the New York Times also taking swings at Mount Rushmore. And this is Columbus, Ohio. I have to kind of squeeze this one in here. Columbus, Ohio. It's Columbus, Ohio. Crews removed the statue of Christopher Columbus from in front of Columbus City Hall on Wednesday in Columbus, Ohio. The statue lifted off its pedestal and rotated to face City Hall and then had been placed on a flatbed truck and taken away from the area. Last month, the mayor there, Andrew Ginther, said he wanted to see the statue removed from City Hall. The decision hailed by groups that say Columbus statues depict the explorers' genocidal cleansing of the New World and exploitation of Native people. Ginther has called on the Columbus Art Commission to lead an effort to replace the statue with public artwork that better reflects the people of Columbus and offers a, quote, shared vision for the future. I hate to break this to the mayor. Your city's name is Columbus. Removing the Columbus statue is not going to sort of remove the stain of Christopher Columbus from your city. The city's name is Columbus. Now, I realize by saying this, I might be pushing him and the council perhaps to change the name of the city. I can't control those actions, but removing the statue doesn't sort of take away Columbus from Columbus, I'm thinking. Scott Bertram on the Steve Gruber Show.
The average construction worker is earning from $16 to more than $30 an hour plus benefits and overtime. And right now, construction workers are in high demand here in Michigan. Fixing the roads, building bridges, commercial projects, and new infrastructure are all part of the big picture. Plus, construction jobs are cool. Find out more about the big opportunities here in Michigan. Go to stevegruber.com and click on the Michigan Construction Banner. That's stevegruber.com and click on the Michigan Construction Banner now. Start building Michigan's future and yours today.
The average time a resume spends on an HR manager's desk is 7 seconds. And most of them are tossed aside. Now imagine if one of those resumes belonged to Yasmin, who was
living in a shelter, juggling 3 jobs. I had to be resilient. That's something that you can't teach.
Or if that resume was from someone who
worked 12-hour shifts at the recycling company with my dad, who's 72. That taught me a work ethic that I carry with me every day.
We rely so much on a resume, yet it could never tell the full story of someone.
Growing up where I did, a lot of things could have gotten in the way of my goals. But I learned to push through, and that's what I bring to work every day.
So maybe it's time we look beyond the resume and look to grads of life. Discover new ways to develop great talent that are so much more than what's on paper at gradsoflife.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Grads of Life and the Ad Council.
180 over 111, and I had a stroke.
145 over 92, and then I had a heart attack.
150 over 90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Everything's changed.
Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.